Welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 118 for November 27th, 2018. We hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Joining me on tonight's podcast are Ryan, WC, and Wes, along with a special guest that really needs no introduction for frog fans, but you know him as one of the hardest working and hardest hitting frogs from the last decade. Number 43, public enemy number one in Madison, the man who swatted away Wisconsin's Rose Bowl dreams, Tank Carter. Tank, thanks for joining us.
Oh, appreciate you having me.
You bet.
So, what have you been up to lately?
Man, just staying in shape right now. The last, since I got released in June, I figured I'd stay in shape and be ready to go until the end of the season. If I don't get a call, then kind of move on to the next phase.
Yeah. You got any pro teams looking at you right now or talking? Or
There was a couple teams early, and the last couple weeks it's been the Ravens, but for the most part it's kind of died out, but we'll see. You know, something could shake up in the playoffs, but, you know, I'll stay ready just for the season, and then after that I'm going to move on.
The Ravens, huh? You look good in purple again.
Yeah, I heard that.
So how did things go with you in Cleveland? How was that? How were you treated up there, and what was it like moving from TCU to the pros?
It went good. It was real good. I loved it up there, man. My mom, she grew up there, so she was up there all the time, and that was great for her for her hometown team growing up. Her son's playing for them. So that was awesome. And then, you know, moving from college to the pros, it's just football at the end of the day. It's right at the beginning, for the first maybe month or two in the camp, in camp, first month or two when you're a rookie, it's fast as can be, man. Everything's kind of going all over the place. Everyone's yelling out calls, but then it all slows right back down. It's just football.
Mm. Everybody's a little bit bigger and faster, though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you're bigger and faster too, so yeah, you can handle them.
That's true. Well, Tank, I got to experience, my fiance is from Ohio, and so he's obviously a huge Ohio State fan, but more than that, he is a massive Browns fan. Half of our sports room is orange and brown with nice. And so that's how he got me to watch you. He said, "You remember the Rose Bowl?" I said, "Of course I was there." And so now I have become a Browns fan solely because of you.
Nice. So that's awesome. Actually, I love it.
Got to go to one game. It's been set in the dog pound, and it was It was quite an experience. It's really cool up there. Pretty neat place
nice.
To be.
You'd be surprised how spread out the Browns fan base is. I mean, it's crazy. You go across everywhere, you'll see somebody wearing a Browns hoodie or something, and it's be in California or something. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Now, we've always heard about how rabid Browns fans happen to be, and given the lack of success the franchise has had over the years, it kind of has become like this cult status where, you know, mm-hmm. is that true? Is it like that up there in Ohio?
Yeah, man. I mean, the dog pound's just a bunch of blue collar guys. They just love football, and they're old school and hard nosed, and that's just how it is out there. Especially, like you said, in the dog pound, they keep it as old school as they can get it. If they could, they'd throw the benches out on the field. Man, they're awesome. They're probably one of the best fan bases in the NFL, just because of the dog pound.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, since a lot of them are Ohio State fans, and they absolutely hate Wisconsin, were you welcome mm-hmm. with open arms when you went up there?
Nah, I mean, I don't even know if they brought it up. I mean, for the first couple of years, I don't even know if they knew I was on the team. I know the coaches did, but as far as the fans, it took me a couple of years to kind of, you know, solidify my spot as special teams captain and a solid backup, you know.
Yeah.
Who was the coach up there when you played?
Oh, which one? It's 2012. It was Shermer. And Dick Duron was the defensive coordinator. Then they was there just for that year. And then my second year was Ray Horton. I can't remember if it was new ownership that year, but I know it was either my second or third year the new owner came in, and he changed everything. They cleaned the whole house. And Chudzinski, that's who it was. Chudzinski was my second year, and the defense coordinator was Ray Horton. Then that was cleared out. And my third year was Mike Pettin. He coached him at Baltimore, coached the Jets, and then head coaching job with the Browns was his first head coaching job. He was head coach for 2 years. That was my third and fourth year. Then fired them after my fourth season. And then my fifth season was Ray Horton again. and the head coach was Hugh Jackson. And yeah, and Hugh was my fifth year, and then Hugh was my sixth year with a new defensive coordinator as Greg Williams instead of Ray. And you can see how it's kind of a repetitious thing of getting a new coach every year too.
It's a lot of stability.
I had to learn probably, I think it was 4 or 5 new defenses in 6 years. I mean, it was a new defense every year. You think about in college, a lot of those, I mean, some do, but for the most part, those rookies that are really good, they need time to develop so they can learn the game and understand the game and learn the defense properly. And then maybe their second or third year, they really grasp the defense where they can play some real ball. Mm-hmm. And in the league, it's like every single year you get a new defense and you got to just stay on the fly. You got to be ready to go. But I mean, for the most part, defense is defense. I mean, it's all just terminology that changes from coach to coach. I mean, cover three is cover three at the end of the day, whether they call it Ringo or whether they call it Tiger, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We always hear about how Coach Patterson's 4-2-5 is one of those kind of defenses that takes a couple years for guys to kind of get used to. Did you find that under that tutelage of Coach Patterson, that helped you at the next level, learning all those different defenses as quick as you possibly could?
Oh, big time, man. His defenses were so dynamic, and I mean, he just had so much stuff he could throw at you. You never knew what it was going to be. And I mean, being in that defense for 4 years, and I mean, really understanding it really helped me a lot to go on to the next level and be able to learn defenses quickly and understand concepts.
Hmm. Well, fantastic. Well, we're glad to have you back home. But
it feels great to be back home.
I hear, other than staying in shape, which we all need to do a little bit more of that after last week. I hear you have a new business that you've just started up. What is this?
Yeah, I'm kind of got into some wing sauce. I've been making it for probably, it's been 12 or 13 years I've been making it. And it was probably 13 years ago that we wanted to make some wings, and we went online looking for a wing sauce recipe. And we found one, we did it, and we didn't really like it. It was a little bit too spicy, so we added a little more heat, and the sweet wasn't there, so we added a little more brown sugar, and I could go down the list and give you all my recipe, but I don't want to do that. But we just kind of, over the years, for probably 4 or 5 years, we just kind of tweaked stuff here and there, and then probably about, I don't know, when it was about the time when I got out of college, I just remember that was it. Like, that was everybody that ever had it, they were like, you got to bottle that. You got to bottle that, everybody. And then got a little downtime, so I bottled it up.
So you mentioned the first time you did the recipe, it was a little too spicy, and you tweaked it. Is this more heat, more sweet? What type of a sauce is this?
So the way that I can say is that it has a perfectly tangy front taste with a balanced with a sweetness throughout that is finished with a heat on the back, and it's perfectly crisp. I mean, everything's balanced so perfectly in the sauce that you really can taste each thing, and none of them are overpowering.
Yeah, that's
it. It really is.
It's and I love the way you're describing this, because I'm in the food business as well, and you sound like some of the foodies I deal with on a day-to-day basis. You know,
really
strong on the front end, a slow finish on the back end. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I love it.
Yeah, well,
but. Go ahead. That's the way you describe food. That's the way you describe the flavor profile of all these things. And then,
No doubt. That's what when you first bite into it, you get that lemon pepper, and it's kind of that tangy. It'll hit you, and then throughout the whole time you're eating it, you kind of get that buttery, subtle, salty sweetness throughout the whole time. And then at the end, you get that kick of that cayenne that just finishes it off, and it's really good. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, so you're not using, like, any sort of crazy, like, Carolina Reapers or –
I don't even like that hot. And actually, it's funny, whenever I'm still kind of going through the process of tweaking the recipe with my co-packer, because I mean, we use their ingredients, and it ain't my ingredients that I buy from the store anymore. It's their ingredients they have in bulk. Mm-hmm. And so kind of going through the process of tweaking it, and I mean, it was too hot, so I'm kind of cutting the heat back now a little bit because it was too hot. I'm not big on the heat. And some people have said, you know, keep the heat. Some people have said, cut the heat. So I figured I'll get it the way I want it with this bottle, the original, and then I can up the cayenne a little bit and do like a hotter sauce here, maybe in a couple months, you know, just kind of come out with a hotter sauce. Everyone's always looking for something new, you know?
Yeah. You got to expand that product line.
No doubt.
Sounds good. So where can people get this now? Is this something that they contact you or directly? You said you're working with
Right now, just it, the one thing for sure that everyone could do is go on my website, tankswings.com, and go down to the section to leave your email. And just, even if you leave a period, I mean, your email, get on the email list, and then you could be the first to know when it is released and launched, and you can actually buy it. I'm going to probably do pre-sales here in the next couple of weeks with Shopify, and on my website too, I'll have a spot that you can do a pre-sale and buy maybe a case or a bottle. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but you know, like I said, it's really early right now, and not as early as it was obviously a couple of weeks ago, but I'm moving along, and it'll be soon. It'll be real soon. But for now, everyone can go to the website, tankswings.com, and leave their email down there and a comment if they want, or like I said, even just a period, just so I have the email, and I'll put you on the email list and send out emails and newsletters whenever we get updates on things, and keep you in the loop whenever it gets a launch.
Yeah, you know, please keep us informed. We'll put the link. You can maybe send us some information in the email, and we'll put a link on Killer Frogs, maybe start a thread on it as well, and some people on Killer Frogs can pre-order too for you.
Good deal. Yeah, for sure. That'd be awesome. I really, really appreciate that.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, you sound really excited to kind of start this new phase in your life, even though I know you're not ready to leave football just yet. Was this like a big transition for you to kind of start your own business, or was this kind of like a natural progression or something that you've been wanting to do for a while?
I don't know. I feel like my dad, he owned a construction business, and he always worked for himself. And my mom, she worked with my dad, and so and my uncles, they all own their own dirt business. So it's, for the most part, it's everyone in my family are entrepreneurs. So I feel like that was the only way I was raised, the only way I know. So I don't know, but I know with anything, and this is true with anything, whatever it is, hard work will come out in the end, and it'll be successful as long as you put the work in, and nobody going to be as passionate about it as everyone will only be as passionate about the product as you are. I truly believe that hard work can push anything as long as you're going to put the time in and work hard at it, you know?
Well, if there's anybody who could bring passion and hard work to a business, it's definitely you, Tank.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm flattered.
Now, I tell you, every single Frog fan absolutely loves you for obvious reasons. Let me take you back just real quick to that Rose Bowl team that you had with those guys around you. What was that season like for you guys?
Man, I don't know. It was such a ride, you know, man, like the whole season just building up to the Rose Bowl and not knowing if we're going to get a BCS game and the close games and the blowout games. And I mean, the one game that I remember vividly was, and I want to, it was 2010 season, was when we went to Utah. And we were ranked 3, I think, and they were ranked 5, maybe. And we were at their house, and we whooped them 47-7 and blew them completely out of the water, man. And I just remember at that moment, like when we got back on the bus, when we thought back on the pregame, and never a doubt in our mind were they ever going to even come close to us. And I remember the confidence that all of us on the bus had before the game and after the game. And I'm not even trying to sound arrogant as like blow the game off, but it was like we just had such a confidence that you couldn't match that year that it was unbelievable.
I was at that game, and you're right. That the team just took it to them. I mean, after about the first quarter, there was no doubt how this thing was going to end up.
Oh, no, for sure. They were all hype, and it was about halfway through, maybe 5 or 6 minutes into the first quarter, and they threw like a 92-yard. Andy threw a 92-yard touchdown pass to Josh Boyce, and I think that was the last time that we heard their crowd for the rest of the game. It was the whole rest of the game was just quiet as could be, because after we scored that touchdown, I mean, it was just three and out touchdown, three and out touchdown, three and out touchdown. They couldn't do anything, you know. And it was like I said, the confidence that team had that year, just across the board. Offense, defense, the leaders of the team, we just unmatched.
Did you sense some of that same confidence in, like, Saturday's game? Because it looked like, you know, our defense played a whale of a game.
They played some ball, man. Whenever Juwan scooped that ball, man, I was going crazy. I had to watch it on the screen, but.
That was amazing.
Well, it certainly looked in the and we'll switch gears over, and we'll talk about Oklahoma State, which was a phenomenal game. Defensively, though, yeah, I'm kind of with Wes. Did it feel like to you, because it kind of did to us up in the press box, like that first half, it was the first time I had seen our defense this season look like they were out there having fun.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Like I said, I was the first half of the game, whenever I feel like kind of the defense got most of the work done, well, I was in there just selling the sauce and kind of trying to watch it on TV, so I didn't really get to watch the first half of the game. But from what I just read, what I've read about, and what I saw in the second half, the defense was amazing. I mean, how do you pronounce it? Molstein?
Well, okay.
Mulestein.
Yeah. So everybody on TV, because I rewatched the game on Sunday because it's fun, you know, to watch us win again. And so all the announcers were saying Molstein, but then, of course, Patterson said Molstein in the post-game interview. So
Mulestein.
I'm going to go with Patterson. I would think he
knows. Yeah. I think so.
I know. Tank, are you a Mel Brooks fan?
Mel Brooks,
director.
Don't make me feel.
See, you're going to make him feel real young.
Yeah. You know, Spaceballs, Blazing Saddles.
Oh, I've heard of, yeah.
Young Frankenstein. Never mind. I was going to put out a young Frankenstein versus young Frankenstein joke, but we'll move that. We'll move along.
clip that later in the show.
I will, yeah. No, it made me look bad. Everyone will make me leave it in. So it's all good. Anyway, moving on. So the defense looked like they were kind of loose in the first half. They looked like they were having fun. Is that kind of like how you guys played defense? Like you kind of knew the game was going well. You guys were out there having fun, hunting together, and just kind of swarming the ball.
Oh, no doubt, man. When you start making plays and it's not the same guy making plays. When everybody's making plays on the field, that's when everybody starts vibing, and that's when you really start to feel unstoppable. Is when you know that your buddy next to you is not gonna miss the tackle, and if the ball's thrown, he's gonna catch it or he's gonna cover that guy. Like, and it builds such a confidence in each person, having confidence in all the guys around them. You know, it's something I can't really explain because I mean I've only felt it a couple times playing football in my life, and that was one of the teams that it was like that for sure.
Well, it's very interesting because I'm sorry, Shannon Braswell. I don't know if you met Shannon or not. He played linebacker for Gary back when Dennis Franchione was the head coach, and of course he was Franchione's defensive coordinator. And
back during the Sun Bowl days.
Back during the Sun Bowl days, but it was the same thing. He said, you know, you start to feel it, you practice it, And what's really cool is when you recognize these formations the offense gets into and you say, okay, I've seen that. I got this. And everybody else thinks the same thing and they've got it. He said, it's just, you're all hunting. They're hunting together and you're all feeling the same thing and you just shut them down.
No doubt, man. And it's almost like a zone you get in where it's almost like controlled chaos, where your mind and everything, your heart's beating so fast, but you're so calm. And focused, and there's no cloudy, and you're seeing everything, and you're finding the ball everywhere it goes. And I mean, it's only happened a couple of times. There's been a handful of teams that I've been on that have been like that, and that was definitely up there, top two for sure.
Wow.
What? Hey, Tank, I've got a question for. Oh, go ahead, WC.
I chalked some of that up to youth because, I looked up the secondary and you didn't recognize half of them, three quarters of them. I think sometimes you get out there and you play. I mean, I think they were loose because when they have the lose, I mean, they're just out there.
Yeah, I feel like it was for them. It's in their mind. You know, if it was me out there and we had to win to get to a bowl game, it would make me play even looser. I mean, so every single person that I've ever talked to in the league that's been in the Super Bowl, that's been in, played in the Super Bowl, whether they lost, whether they won, the most pressure of any game in the whole season is the championship game, the NFC championship game, the AFC championship game. There's more pressure on that game than there is in the Super Bowl game. When they get to the Super Bowl game, they made it. They can relax. They can just play ball. And you wouldn't think that. You'd think Super Bowl would be the most, but it's really the second, the NFC championship and the AFC championship, because you win that game, you know you're going to the Super Bowl, and not a lot of people get to experience that. So there's a lot more pressure on that game than there is in the Super Bowl, because once you get to the Super Bowl, whether you win it or not, you can still say you made it to a Super Bowl. you know, and all the pressure's on the game before that. And then when you get to the big games, you just loosen up and you can play ball.
I think that kind of happened with the Baylor game. I mean, the Baylor game, they won that game, and it is like, all right, we got a chance now.
Yeah.
Yeah, without the Baylor game, you don't have that chance. And after you won the game, it's kind of like, hey, let's go out and have fun now. I mean, it's laid out here in front of us, you know.
For sure. Yeah, man. I know. It's like after the because I went to the Ohio State game and Jerry's World. And, I mean, I thought they played a good game. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that could have been cleaned up. But they, as far as I'm concerned, they played a decent game against Ohio State. Should have won, but didn't. And then after that, I feel like they just kind of were like, man, we didn't beat the team that we were supposed to beat this year, that we wanted to beat this year. And they kind of let up a little bit, you know. That's how I felt, that they kind of built up, and then it wasn't as climactic as they thought, and it was kind of a letdown. So they kind of hit a little lull there. Was it October that they went 0-4?
Yeah, when that happens,
you're clinching up, you're feeling like nothing's going right, and then you're trying too hard at that point. Yeah.
It's just like you talked about, you know, as much as, you know, take that 1 year, you know, you talk about everything went right, all of a sudden it happens the other way. All of a sudden one little bad thing turned into two little bad things, and all of a sudden two little bad things turned into five, and next thing you know, you're snowballing the other direction trying to get a hold of it again.
Yeah, that's why they say play one game at a time and don't get too hyped up over one game. Yeah. So
that's it. That's it. You can't look past anybody.
Easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Sure. Easier said than done.
I want to ask you a quick question. And this is there's so many different elements to the answer. So what would your advice be to athletes coming out of high school that could even possibly be listening to this podcast when they're trying to decide between schools, which school to go to, whether it's TCU, UT, OU, or even TCU is not a part of it. What's your best advice? Cause they're so young, they're thinking, they're probably focusing on other things. And what would you say to them?
I mean, for me, it was a tough, it was kind of different because TCU was my only Division I. So, I mean, I really didn't have to make any hard decisions. It was simple as can be. So, but if I had to say something, I would say that choosing a school, you have to go with what's best for you and your family. Because, I mean, if you're moving way far away, I mean, and you got to go with the situation too, as to who, if for an athlete, you got to look at the situation of the team before you go there. I mean, if you have multiple offers. If you have multiple Division I offers, you got to look at the situation. There's so many factors, family, you personally, you got to look at the situation as far as the sport goes, who's there, is there ball players in front of you? Are they bringing in a guy that could potentially, you know, I mean, there's just so many factors that could play into your decision. But as far as I'm concerned, it would have to be, you know, you just got to go with what's best for you and your family. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, that's the most important.
Yep. Yeah.
And remember, don't go to Baylor.
It's funny. Yeah. My son, my oldest son's little buddy, he's a big Baylor fan. And it's funny because we always kind of went at it about Baylor and TCU. And whenever TCU plays anybody, it don't matter who it is, he'll say, who's TCU playing? They'll say, we'll say Kansas State. And he'll say, go Kansas State. And he's a Baylor fan. So it's funny. We give him a hard time.
That's cute.
That was good. Well, let's go back and let's talk through this Oklahoma State game a little bit. We talked a little bit about defense, and the defense looked fantastic in the first half. Second half, there was a little bit of a hiccup, so to speak, in the second half. And Tank, I want to get your opinion on this, because Wes and I were discussing this up in the press box as things were happening, and fans were going nuts on social media. It's like, why? We're going to let them back in the game. What's going on with the defense? Why can't they stop anybody now? And I know you didn't watch a whole lot of the first half, but in the first half, Oklahoma State pretty much did not use the hurry-up offense at all. Second half, they pretty much utilized that and utilized it very well. It looked like, at least to Wes and I as we were talking about this, and going back to what Dubber was saying with some of those young guys, it looked like Patterson was, because Ty Summers wasn't in the game, we didn't have a veteran back there at linebacker, it looked like Patterson was trying to call all the different coverages that were needed for the defense, and of course, in the hurry-up, those calls are coming in pretty late. Do you think that kind of had a little bit of an issue there with the defense in the second half, that hurry up offense?
I mean, that always plays a factor. When you start speeding things up and you got to make calls and you got to make checks on the fly like that, it obviously can create confusion. But, I mean, they can handle it. They can handle it for sure. And, I mean, what I saw in the end, they didn't give up a bunch of points. What was the score at the end of the first half?
7-3.
Was it 7-3?
7-3 at the end of the first half. Yeah, we actually held Oklahoma State to their lowest offensive production all season.
Okay, so... Yeah, and then the final was 31-24.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So 7-3. So the second half they scored all their points. Yeah. I guess I got in whenever maybe it was like, did it ever get 10-7? Were we 10-7? Because I think I can't remember I came in.
No. It was. You had Johnson with the scoop and score right after the kickoff, and then you had the 83-yard Rager run after a three and out. So it got up to 21-3. Before they were able to score the first touchdown.
It was 21-3, and then when they kind of came back and we got 24, I guess it was 24 maybe to 3, and then when they cut it 24-17 and we came back that next drive and I drove down there 72 yards, I remember watching that, and that 24-yard touchdown pass, I think that was the turning point of the game. That kind of gave us our momentum back after they cut that deficit, and I think that was huge for sure.
Yeah, that was the fake to Rager pass to Davis, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what that was.
Yeah,
that was their all game.
Yeah,
long.
He was for sure. Yeah, I think he only threw three passes, but he completed all three of them for 55 yards.
Yeah.
Y'all, here's an interesting stat. I took a picture of it when I watched it on Sunday. For the first half, when OSU played Oklahoma, they had 358 yards the first half versus West Virginia. They had 208. But against TCU, they had 61 yards.
61, yeah.
Is that not? No, I mean, that's awesome.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. That is awesome. I didn't know that stat, but that really is. That's a great job for sure. And that's what I was.
First down, 61 yards. And, I mean, you know, you got to think Oklahoma State, I mean, Gundy and them, I mean, he's a good offensive coordinator. I mean, a guru type guy. He's going to get some points. I mean, I've the last three or four games actually, and that's why you kind of get, because you just expect him to do it. I mean, really and truly, what he did, especially the last two games, is to me, was just ridiculous. I mean, because he had no business. We had no business beating Baylor after losing our quarterback and two running backs. And then this week, we had every reason in the world not to be able to win this game. And, our defense went out there and just slacked them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, that's tough. All the injuries.
I mean, I was shocked. I mean, I really was. I was really – and then I got thinking, well, you know, maybe Oklahoma State's flat, but why would you be flat, you know? It was crazy. The way they played on defense is for nature.
A crazier stat. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to actually verify this yet, but one of the guys on the board was talking about this, and when I looked it up, he was right. If the stats after the official stats come in, I think TCU ended up having the best defense in the Big 12 this year.
Yeah, they
did. Really?
Yeah, statistically,
is that total yards or is that just?
I think total defense is
all combined. Yeah,
all combined defense. Gotcha. And
with it.
If you take a look at it, I mean, all season long, we pretty much kept everybody to season low yardage and points, except for a couple of games that kind of got Oklahoma got away from us, Texas game got away from us. But for the most part, the defense has been pretty solid. And the weird thing is that that's the part of the team that's had the most injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, I would say technically could take that over if I guess now they got to play this Saturday against Drake.
That's what I heard.
But yeah, right now we're leading about three or four categories. Third down efficiency is a big one too.
Yeah. Do they take any of that yardage and all that into account when they do bowl projections and stuff like that?
No, I think it ends at the end of the regular season. So after week 12, that's pretty much locked in. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out after the Iowa State game. But I mean, even if Iowa State overtakes us for number one, given the way the season has panned out.
Unbelievable.
It's fantastic. And most of those guys are coming back next year.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, how many seniors do we have graduate? Was it 13?
You talking about for last season?
This season. That will be gone after this year.
Yeah.
Isn't Ty a senior or is Ty a junior?
Ty's a senior. He's gone.
Yeah.
Bannon is gone.
Your defensive ends, Ty, and a couple of safeties. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that was rough.
Ty has been playing all year long.
Yep.
Yeah.
Johnson was a one and done guy too.
Yeah.
I like it. I like him as a player, man. I've talked to him. I've sat down with him and watched film before, and he's a good kid. And I think he's really instinctive, and he shoots gaps, and he ain't afraid to stick his nose in there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Y'all think he'll be back for the bowl game?
I don't know.
What would they say? It was a hamstring.
I never even heard.
I don't think that's even been announced.
Yeah, of course not. It won't be.
We'll put quotes around hamstring there, and that. So I don't know. I hope he's back. I love watching him play. He's a fantastic player.
I was surprised to see Shaywo and Small back out on the field this game. Were y'all?
I was really shocked to see Small back, but I'm so glad he was back because he had a heck of a game.
Yeah.
And Shaywo had a. Oh, let's talk offense. Shaywo, obviously surprised to have him back at running back, but. Yep. Let's talk about our other running back, Rager. What a creative amount of play calling from Cumbie to line him up.
After all year long, kind of hammered and sunny for some of the play calling. Oh, my gosh, he got smart this week. I mean, you know what? Sometimes you throw all that stuff out the door and you get it to your best player and let him try to take over the game. And that's pretty much what Rager did. I mean,
your back's against the wall.
You're going to get it to you.
You're down your third string quarterback. Your top two running backs are out. You got to do something. And he dug deep and came up with a solution and made it work. And it was great. More, you know, my hat's off to him.
Well, I only think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think that Coach P being so versatile, be able to find a way, you know. He's always been that way. Find a way, whatever he got to do to get it done.
Yeah, and he
is Rager a wide receiver on the depth chart, or is
he's a wide receiver? Yep.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was something else to see him and Shaywo line up in the backfield, or him and DeMarcado back there in the backfield. I mean, just that one handoff to him, that 183 yards, that was fantastic to see.
Yeah.
I mean, he was all over the field. I mean, he got direct snaps, and I know a lot of people were kind of complaining about that one. Third down play where we did a direct snap to him and he ended up, you know, doing a sweep, but which should not have happened because Milstein definitely got that first down. But that was there all game long for us because they didn't know how to plan for that, because usually it's Shaywo back there in the quote unquote wild frog, and all he does is he just sits, wait, picks a hole, and then drives forward. With Rager back there, I mean, it almost felt like if he could pass like LaDainian Tomlinson, suddenly. I wouldn't mind having him back up Mulstein if Mulstein went down, because he was very dynamic in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is Rager a senior or is he coming back?
He's sophomore.
He'll be back. Yeah.
He'll be back. That's good.
Well, think about, you know, it kind of makes me look at Anderson in the sense that Anderson just had to be hurt because, you know, that's what we've been missing out of the running back, just that explosiveness, and boy, Rager gave it to us being in a lot of ways. But that's what Anderson used to give to us until he's been beat up. You know, that's what you would expect. You know, when we do that jet sweep or that off tackle, man, he was gone. He hit the hole and he was gone. You know, he'd make one cut. It was over.
Well, he did that in the Ohio State game.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we did see it after that. After he got hurt, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, so what happens with those nagging injuries? Sometimes, you know, it's hard to bounce back during a season to be able to recover from something like that. But
it's when you talk about running backs, wide receivers, guys like that, that are totally on their legs or ankles or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, big guys, you can take them up, throw them back out there. They'll be all right most of the time.
Hey, Dubber, real quick. What did you see out of the offensive line? Because they look pretty good with what Gaynor moving to center this week and
see,
last
that,
week.
That was my whole deal. I mean, I'm sitting there and watching the offensive line too, thinking, my goodness. I mean, they look like a totally different line. I mean, they really did. I mean, maybe you found something there because
three new guys on the line this week, so it was pretty much a brand new line.
Yeah, I felt like it was the best they played in several weeks. I mean, they look like a whole different. I mean, look like a whole different game.
Yeah,
I was proud of them.
Yeah, I think that Baylor win really changed something in the locker room, or something their mindset, or just I don't know the way they were gelling. They did look like a brand new team, a lot of energy.
They did, and let's talk about Molstein. Let's give this guy his due because Wes mentioned him as third string quarterback. Wes, I think at the beginning of the season, I think he was fourth on the depth chart, wasn't he? Yeah, well, Ryan's raising up before. I think it was Ringdahl before him, wasn't it?
I think he's first, third because we had Sean Robinson, we had Michael Collins, and Molstein.
I thought Ringdahl was on the first couple of games was third on the depth chart.
Well, and even what's his name that still has got
Rogers.
Dropped. Rodgers, I mean, he technically is ahead of him if he didn't have drop foot. I mean, he was, yeah, I mean, you got to think of that too, but.
Well, in any event, whether it's backup I mean, quarterback or backup quarterback, the fact is the guy comes in at last week at Baylor, taking over for Michael Collins, who goes down, unfortunately, and ends up taking us to a victory. And then this week, senior day, his last game as a Horned Frog, at least in Fort Worth, at least hopefully we don't go to the Fort Worth Armed Forces Bowl. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, his last game in Fort Worth, he gets his first career start for a chance to put this team into a bowl game and gets a win. I mean, talk about guts. And I know Patterson, I don't know if you guys saw the speech that Patterson gave to the team in the locker room, which was just unbelievable and inspiring. But he compared him to Bram Kohlhausen. Which I think everybody after that game immediately started making the same comparisons because that was a gutsy performance by the Mule.
Yeah. He did exactly what he needed to do. He didn't try to get out there and be the star. He just managed the game really well and didn't make any mistakes and just allowed his teammates to play well around him. They all supported each other so well. It was a beautiful game to watch, I will say.
Tank, was his performance kind of Dalton-esque?
What's that?
Was his performance Dalton-esque?
Yeah, he's a great quarterback, really good quarterback, but got a long way to go to get close to Andy. Andy's one of a kind, man.
I just mean like really game management. Man.
He did a great job, and I think, like I said, I think that drive was kind of – and I think the coaches did a great job utilizing him the way they did, not giving him too much passes, you know, not putting him in any two pressure situations to make a big mistake. Run, pass, run. You know, not too many passes. They just kind of mixed it up with the runs they had. And I mean, it worked out in the end. And when he was called on to make a good throw or to put a drive together, he did it.
Yeah. He's been known for his running ability. He's not the most proficient passer out there, but they didn't ask him to do anything more than he's capable.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And he did a great job. I mean, my hat's off to him, too.
Hey, I wanted to – WC, you were out there in the stands, weren't you, at the very end of the game?
Yeah.
Okay. So remember at the end when we had that last touchdown pass, did you hear the sideline scream? I think they yelled free. Like, it was so loud. And he threw the pass into the end zone. And I was like, what did they just yell? Like, they were all in unison and yelled – something, which I think they've said free. We were all trying to figure it out in the stands. I don't know if you noticed it.
I don't know what they yelled. I didn't hear that.
It was quite something. I don't know if any of the rest of you heard it. Probably not because y'all are inside. And I couldn't hear it on the
wide receiver was wide open.
Yeah.
Free. Probably that's what I see. That's probably
I think they
said.
Were. Like, it gave me chills. It was pretty cool.
Well, the good thing is, you know what? You're right. He didn't try to play. He didn't try to do too much. He played within himself. And hey, if I'm starting a quarterback in a bowl game, I don't care who's back healthy. I'm starting him. I think at this point, no doubt. He's got the record.
Yeah, he's got the hot hand at the moment.
Yeah.
That's right.
Definitely. Well, it was an absolutely fantastic game. There wasn't a whole lot to really complain about, except we do have to kind of complain about one thing, and that is clock management at the end of this game. The last 2 minutes kind of felt like it was going to take 2 years off of my life. Did you guys feel the same way?
Yes.
Definitely.
And I had visions of, like, screwing it up and losing. Because we have done that before.
Right. Right after the defense has that emotional three and out stop deep in their own end, and then they had to go for it on fourth down, and then we stop them again, turnover on downs. You get the ball back on the 4 yard line.
Yep.
And he lines up in victory formation with Oklahoma State still having a timeout. What in the world was going through his head?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, as soon as I would have done it beforehand. I'd ran it right up the middle and see if he called timeout. But as soon as he called timeout, all bets would have been off for me. I would have tried to finish off.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said to my phone sitting next to me. When he took a knee and he kind of was – I wouldn't say he was playing mercy, but we were kind of putting it on him right there at the end. And whenever we took a knee to kind of be okay, we're done giving it to you, and he called a timeout – man, I told my father, I was like, right now I would throw a deep ball or run it right at them. I would just shove it in their face.
Well, and then he takes two more knees and then puts the ice of the game in the hands of probably one of our most inconsistent units all season long, which was field goal. I mean, Jonathan Song, who didn't kick the first field goal, which we missed, Cole Bunce missed that one by a country mile, but Song was not consistent all season long, and then the refs misplaced the ball in the right hash when Milstein actually took a knee about 5 yards inside. And, you know, that's not where you want – if you're Jonathan Song, that's not where you want the ball to be to begin with. I'm surprised he decided to, you know, put the game on in his hands.
He shot out where I was sitting. I don't think he ever got down. I think that's why they placed it over there. Because I'm sitting there going, he just went right past the middle of the field and went all the way over to he went a good ways before he went down. And I sit in that end zone to see I'm playing offensive line. I tell you, I like watching the game from the back, I mean, from the end zone. So I was right there in that end zone, and Milstein, he kind of, when he went across, or he just kept running. I was like, fall down. Okay. And by the time he got down, he was over almost on the other hash. And I went, well, that can't be good. Our kicker can't do that.
I was yelling up in the press box, our kicker can't do it, period. I'm joking. But no, but why would you do that? You have the ball at the four. If you're gonna make it where you're gonna score to just seal the game, get the dagger out, run it straight ahead three times and try to punch it into the end zone.
Yeah.
I understand.
Especially like Tank said, especially after they called that first time out.
They called the first time out. Like you said, all bets are off. I mean, I'm trying to score right now.
Yeah, I'm not playing for a field goal there.
No.
And it almost burned us too.
It did.
It didn't hurt us. We won.
We did.
Well, we had a couple heart attacks in the midst of it, but yes, we won. Lordy.
Just a few. So, yeah, so as much as those 2 minutes were terrifying in certain points, at least, like WC said, we win, and this team is going bowling, which a couple weeks ago we didn't think that was ever going to be a possibility. So amazing last 2 weeks for this team. They certainly deserve the bowl game. So let's talk about bowl predictions. Where do you guys think we're going to go? Because from what it seems like, the possibilities are Memphis in the Liberty Bowl, the Texas Bowl in Houston, and Phoenix for the – is this real?
Cheez-It Bowl?
Cheez-It Bowl.
Cheez-It Bowl.
Oh, God.
Is it Cheez-It or is it Cheez-It?
It doesn't matter.
Or I've heard even possibilities, some predictions are out there, the Armed Forces Bowl back at Eamon Carter Stadium.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get that bet far down the list.
I hope not. That would not be good for this team.
I thought it'll even be a Big 12 team that's even in that bowl game, even though it's supposed to be. But
I predict the order you went in is the order it's going to go.
Memphis, Houston, Phoenix.
Yeah, I think they would like to put us in the Liberty Bowl with the SEC.
Yeah. I just hope that us being in it, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah,
against Georgia. I just hope
us being in it so recent that they move past us. I'd like that. That'd be a good one. I like Memphis.
I like Memphis too. That's a fun place, especially New Year's Eve. The Texas Bowl, I almost would rather get the Texas Bowl. The payout's a little bit better, right, for the school. I mean, if you're thinking about money, which everybody does.
I think the Texas Bowl picks first, so I think they have the bigger payout.
Yeah, and so that, I think the Texas Bowl would be awesome just because we're such a big alumni base, and we would travel so much better to Houston. It's not going to be as much fun for the players because it's Houston. I get that. But alumni base, I think we would have a great turnout. I did read one prediction today that had us in the Texas Bowl against, was it Nevada? Does that sound right?
That can't be right.
I think
it might have been Boise, maybe. Was it Boise State?
I do remember seeing one with Boise State.
No, I think that was the Phoenix Bowl.
I think that was the Cheez-It Bowl. Now we're going to be
The Cheez-It Bowl.
But they had Baylor matched up against A&M and Memphis. And I tell you what, I do not want to play A&M. I just don't.
I don't know. I want to play A&M.
I don't.
I want to play an SEC team.
Yeah, I do too. I tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to play seven overtimes. Or was it eight? Nine? Nine overtimes? I forgot.
That was horrible. I was glad they won, though.
Yep. What a terrible game that was. Memphis, Wes, the Liberty Bowl guys were actually at the game. Remember them?
Yeah, they were sitting right down the row from us. Yeah, and they, of course, they're not going to tell you who they don't know at that time who's going to get the invites. But, yeah, they were sitting right there by us.
Oh, they seemed pretty excited.
Yeah, I said, I like Memphis. He said, oh, really? Yeah, and we talked barbecue. Of course, what else would we do in Memphis other than rendezvous and Corky's? But, maybe look for some wings with Tank's wing sauce on them.
Soon.
It'll be better than the wing sauce they have at Rendezvous. I'll tell you that much.
Well, you don't go to Rendezvous for wings, but I guess you could get them there.
We can go over my experience at Rendezvous if we get picked for Memphis next week. How about that?
Okay, fair enough.
So no, I. What do you guys think? So WC says Memphis. Ryan, what do you think? Where are we going?
Oh, well, I Memphis or Liberty. I'm sorry, I keep saying that Memphis or Texas. Either one of those, the Texas Bowl or the Liberty Bowl. Sorry, I've gotten that confused. Keep saying it the same way every single time. I have a cold. Just blame it on the cold. But and it'd be more fun to go to Memphis, but I think I'd rather go to
the Texas Bowl in Houston.
Yeah.
All right. Tank, where do you think we're going?
I think it's the Liberty Bowl. I've seen a lot of projections, and I like it against South Carolina. That'd be nice. I'd like us to play against the SEC team. It'd be good.
That would be good.
Yeah.
That'd be a good team. And you know, that team that we had 2 years ago that went there, had some issues with it and darn near beat Georgia. And for a while was beating Georgia pretty handily, and we let them back in. But it'd be nice to see them play against an SEC team. It'd be really good. That'd be a nice trip for these seniors.
Yeah, for sure. And if win that game and end on a win against the SEC team, good SEC team, I think that'd build their confidence moving into next season.
Amen.
For sure.
Definitely.
If we do go to Houston, what league were we matched up against over there?
Oh, that's you would ask. Good question. Hold on 1 second. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I thought that was SEC as well, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, it is SEC. Sorry. Okay. Big 12 SEC. More than likely, probably want to – well, I can't imagine A&M ending up in the Texas Bowl. Because that's right in their backyard.
The Liberty Bowl.
Liberty, the Memphis, did Liberty?
Yeah, that's what I read. But that they had a matchup against Baylor. It was – I mean, what? I mean, how many predictions are out there, goodness? But
too many.
Yeah.
Way too many. I mean, it's all predicated on, obviously – what happens against OU and UT?
Well, you got to think Texas is going to the Texas Bowl. They're looking at people coming. They'd love to have any of them right there.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What was you said Texas Bowl picks first, right?
Yeah, I think the order for at least the ones that we're up for would be the Texas Bowl, Memphis, Liberty Bowl. Then I think Phoenix comes after that.
You know what? Yeah. I'm looking at the Cheez-It Bowl right now, and they do have us matched up. This one, dratings.com, has us matched up with Nevada and TCU at the Cheez-It Bowl.
I tell you what, the only good thing about Nevada was 2010. Am I right, Tank?
Yeah.
That was the year. Colin Kaepernick.
That was nine. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, weren't you guys watching that game, the Boise Nevada game that Boise ended up losing, and that put us in the Rose Bowl. Were you guys watching that at the hotel that night?
Oh man, I remember we were down the hallway and down probably six or seven doors was one of the coaches, and I just remember whenever we won that everybody was in the hallway at like 12 o'clock at night. Going nuts. And it's like obviously I think it was a Friday night game, and we had a game the next day, and it's like 12:30 at night, everybody come on, we're going crazy, and the coaches they come out, stick their head, and they come back in. I just remember us going nuts in the hotel. Aww. For sure.
What was it, one of those things where they just kind of peeked out in the hallway and they went, I'm just gonna let them do it?
Oh no, it was And I want to say that it was, if I remember correctly, it was a hotel that kind of has that big open center, you know, and then it's almost like you walk around the outside. Yeah, like a big atrium, like if I remember correctly. But, I mean, I just remember everybody coming out of the rooms and just going crazy because we were going to the Rose Bowl. Well, I had a chance to anyway.
And suddenly the front desk got about 100 complaints and phone calls, right?
yeah, no doubt.
It's worth it.
Definitely worth it. Yeah, that was Colin Kaepernick. That was, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever that was?
Wow.
Dang, was it that long? It was that long.
Man, what a good night. Really? So hopefully we don't end up in the Cheez-It Bowl against Nevada, but I don't think we're going to fall that far. I think it's honestly between Memphis and the Texas Bowl. And as much as I enjoyed Memphis last time, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling I'd probably rather go to Houston. I'm kind of with Ryan on that.
Yeah.
Wes, what do you think? You think barbecue or do you think mosquitoes?
Well, Houston's kind of a barbecue wasteland, but I'd go down because I have a free place to stay in Houston. So I'm selfishly going there. And Phoenix, I got a free place to stay there as well. So either one. Memphis, I don't know anybody there. So.
I'll go with you. You'll know me.
Okay, we'll go together.
There you go. It's all good. Well, we'll certainly find out where the Frogs go on Sunday after OU and Texas play. Real quick, before we wrap up tonight, what do you guys think? Predictions, don't need to know score, just winner of the Big 12 championship game, OU or Texas. Dubber, we'll start with you.
I think OU wins it.
All right, OU. Wes?
I'm with Dubber, OU.
Ryan?
I think because OU lost, I think it's tough for a team to beat a really good team twice, so I'm going to go with OU. Still going to be a nail-biter. I think UT will play them well, but
solid reasoning, though. Tank, how about you, OU or the Longhorns?
I've got the same. I think it's going to be a good game, but I just at the end of the day, I don't think Texas is going to get it done. I think OU will beat them and that it was at Murray. I think Murray's just too much for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think Murray's kind of hitting his stride right now, and he's licking his chops.
I'm greedy. I want OU to win it. I want us to have a chance to have won the Big Four.
I do think
OU, if OU wins it, no matter whatever happens with Ohio State, I think OU makes it into the Final Four because I think they want to see those two quarterbacks, Alabama's quarterback and OU's quarterback, match up because that would be an amazing game. They'll be 1-4.
I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody beating Alabama.
Yeah, but I think OU's offense would give them a run for their money. Now their defense has got it.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like men among boys, that team. It's unreal how he finds these guys. And I feel like he finds guys that you don't – I mean, obviously they're top recruits in the country, but, like, I mean, it's not like a big deal about the guys they're getting. He just gets big, huge, NFL caliber athletes. That's all he goes for. He doesn't go for playmakers. He goes for NFL caliber athletes. That's it. Mm-hmm. For sure. And he goes for consistency and NFL caliber athletes. That's what he's looking for. Size, strength, speed, knowledge, and gets them on his team. And he can, as long as they're consistent, he don't care if they make a bunch of crazy plays. As long as that player's consistent, that's what he's looking for. And you can tell all those guys are like robots, man. They just, well-tuned machine.
Well, this year they actually got a quarterback that can make those crazy plays.
Yeah,
I mean, not only he's consistently crazy good. I mean, what he's done this year has been pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, he's been making that team go for sure. Ever since they put him in, was it last year's national championship? So, I mean, it was as soon as he hit the field, he just didn't look back.
Nope. I mean, he hadn't really had a down game. I mean, he's been unbelievable. I'm with you, Tank. It's kind of like all I do is who's going to – I'm just kind of wondering who's going to be second this year because I've kind of got my mind up too. I don't think
– Alabama. They're just too – it's too much, man. I mean, even if a team plays them, like, really, really good and plays up to their level – I mean, third quarter they're going to wear down, and it's just they're going to finish them in the fourth quarter. It's you know it's how they're built.
Well, the committee has certainly kind of stacked the deck in favor of Alabama by putting Georgia at four. So even if Georgia were to somehow come out and beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, I don't see Alabama dropping below four. I think no matter what,
there's no reason for them to.
I don't think so either. I think they've proven themselves being the best team in the nation.
You know what else is crazy is that right now we could very likely go into the playoffs with three undefeated teams. And in all the years, I believe you have to double check this, but I think there's only have been three undefeated teams total in the years that we've had this playoff system in place. You know, so we could have three, one, two, and three is undefeated. And I think the first year there was one, the second, you know.
You'll have two for sure because Notre Dame doesn't have that vaunted 13th data point.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, think about Alabama, Georgia. If Georgia beats Alabama, there's going to be a lot of unhappy people because they're going to put Alabama and Georgia in it.
Two SEC teams. Not now. They are.
And that will really screw up our Big 12. That will screw up our bowl.
Yes, it will. Yeah, so everybody better be Alabama fans this weekend.
Yes, exactly. Everybody root for Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that'll be a fun one to watch. And, of course, we'll get to see all the drama that unfolds when the committee actually comes out with their predictions and – or not their predictions, their selections. Mm-hmm. More than likely, we're probably looking at – maybe Oklahoma getting into the playoffs, and if that happens, I think we're definitely destined for Houston. Otherwise, it's rib time in Memphis, but we'll see. We will see. So everyone will be glued to the TV set this weekend, that's for darn sure. And with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank again our special guest this week, Tank Carter. Thank you very much for joining us this week.
Thank you all for having me. I appreciate y'all having me on.
And what is the name of that website? Give us the website again where we can go get that fabulous sauce or pre-order the fabulous sauce.
Website's tankswings.com. And just go down the bottom, leave a comment, and leave your email. I'll put you on the email list, and we can get you some emails, some newsletters, let you know whenever our launch is. Hopefully it's sometime in January.
Fantastic.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I will definitely be buying a bottle or a case.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, y'all will be the first to know for sure. I'm going to have it all on the social media. Tank's Wings on Instagram, Tank's Wings on Twitter, and Tank's Wings on Facebook. Just go, you can follow all three, and it'll have frequent updates of new bottles, new labels, everything going through the process is all the way down to when they fill the bottles to on the process line. I'll have videos, everything will be on there. It'll be a lot of fun.
Man, you got it all covered. That's fantastic.
Now you need to do something with chocolate.
Yeah. That's going to be down the line. I have to find me a chocolatier because I don't know nothing about chocolate.
You're talking to one.
Nice.
Wes is our resident Willy Wonka. Now, Tank, you didn't know Mel Brooks. Did that reference hit home?
Only because there's been a remake of Willy Wonka.
You got to explain this to me.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I know that. Well, who's Mel Brooks?
Mel Brooks.
Not Mel Brooks.
Wait, do yourself a favor. Tank, you have Netflix?
I got Netflix.
All right, go on Netflix. Just do a search for Mel Brooks. M-E-L-B-R-O-O-K-S. Watch any of his movies. You'll thank me later.
We're
all hilarious. Anyway, nice. Now well, somebody in the audience, please send Tank a collection of Mel Brooks films, because the man's.
I need it. I gotta watch them now. Now you got me curious.
Well, maybe we could trade him some films for some wing sauce. How about that?
There you go.
Deal.
Do that. All right.
First,
well,
first one that sends me, I'll send him a case.
Hey, there you go.
Send them to you, and you can forward it to me.
Will do. Hey, we wish you all the luck in your new venture here. Hopefully you get picked up for the playoffs with some lucky team, and you can go bust some heads in the NFL again. And with that, again, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. I want to thank everybody who is out there listening to us on the podcast. The podcast is available on both iTunes, Google Play, as well as on Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts these days. You can also find Killer Frogs on all the social media networks. We got Twitter, we got Facebook, we've got Instagram. Of course, you can go to frogswire.com to get all of your TCU news. And, of course, sign up for a free account and discuss TCU athletics on killerfrogs.com. With that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get the frogs up and we get to say,
go frogs.
Go frogs.
Go frogs.
Thanks, Tank.
Thank you, Tank.
Oh, no problem. Thank you all for having me.
Sorry, I must have been glitching there during the podcast.
Yeah, you were a couple times. You were kind of cutting out, and I was hoping you weren't asking me a question.
Sorry, I was making a point, and then I'm like, it was like dead silence. I was like, uh-oh.
No, we were all like,
either all y'all hate me or something bad just happened. Either one.
So. Well, I don't want to say anything because I'm thinking, oh crap, mine's freezing up. And, you know, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought mine was doing because I'm on this hotel Wi-Fi and I'm sure it's bad.
Yours was actually really good, Ryan. I didn't have a problem with yours.
Well, I need to come to Oklahoma more often for these podcasts. Staying at Hilton Garden Inn.
Oklahoma's not too bad. I was born in Tulsa, so
I like it. I do like it. All right. Well, everybody get some rest. Try to get over your cold.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Y'all try to get better. It sounds like y'all are having a tough time over there.
nothing a little wing sauce won't help.
This is
I heard that.
Yeah. All right.
No, serious. Well, you need to watch Mel Brooks. You need to watch
Mel Brooks. No, I'm going to get on it. I'm going to have to watch some. I like sitting in my media room and watching TV at night, so I'm going to have to watch a couple of them, and hopefully I'll get hooked and I'll watch all of them.
I'm sure you've seen
Spaceballs or Shirley.
I've seen Spaceballs. I've seen parts of Spaceballs. Wait, is that like an 80s? Is that 80s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I kind of remember it was like 83 whenever I looked at it, but I've seen it before.
I'd start with Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
I've seen Blazing Saddles. That's a good one.
That's it. You know it.
See, I don't know who Mel Brooks is. I know the movies, though.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You got it.
To Be or Not to Be is a good one. Young Frankenstein is my absolute favorite movie of all time. All done in black and white with Gene Wilder, the guy who played the original Willy Wonka. Can't go wrong with that movie. Absolutely cannot go wrong with that movie. There's so many one-liners
in
that
movie.
It's a classic.
Wrong with Gene Wilder either.
Yeah, that's true. Silver Streak, Frisco Kid. Yeah, it's all good. Anyway, you guys have yourself a good night. Tank, again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tank.
Right.
Night-night.
Thank you all so much. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.